today. Matthew chapter 9 this morning. We're going to be looking at verses 35 through 38. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38 this morning. We'll be resuming in Genesis probably 2 weeks from today. I've had questions about that already today. When do we get back to Genesis? When do we get back to Genesis? We're heading back to Genesis. We're going to be heading to Genesis 2 weeks from today, Lord willing. And it's going to be a great study there in the book of Genesis together on Sunday mornings. On Sunday nights, we're going to begin our study through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We'll be beginning that in a couple of weeks also, walking our way verse by verse through the epistle of Paul to the church of Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians on Sunday nights. On Wednesday nights, we will be finishing up the book of Galatians in the next few Wednesday nights. This Wednesday night, we have a very special time together, and I'll talk about that at the end of the morning today. And we also have a booklet of information to pass out to you, and we're very excited about that to do so concerning our assistant pastor recommendations. And so you'll be getting that as you leave today. So this Wednesday, we will not be in Galatians, but we'll be doing a Q&A and getting to know some brothers, and it's going to be a great, great time this Wednesday night. So we want you to come and be here for that on Wednesday night. But this morning, we get to talk about mission vision as we move into 2019 together. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. If you have it, say, I got it. Yes. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Here is the word of the Lord for us today. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Let me go ahead and mention this before I pray. I'm going to preach today about Mission Vision 2019. I want to encourage you one more time to prayerfully consider being a part of our Disciple Maker Ministry, which we'll launch next Sunday at 4:45. We have about 7 to 8 group leaders, and these group leaders have trained all fall, preparing to lead you through some discipleship materials that will help equip you to take a new Christian, to take a church member who's a Christian maybe for a long time, but they've never learned how to really walk with the Lord or grow in the Lord. I want to encourage you to commit to one of our groups. If you are one of our group leaders, would you stand up real quick? Would you stand up if you're one of the group leaders? All right. Miss Pam's got a women's group. And so you see these folks standing here, all right? I think they all have room in their groups. And they would love, I want to encourage our deacons to do this. If you have some of our deacons, Brother Jared's a deacon, he's leading out in the group. This would be great for our deacons, our young adults. You may be seated, but at the end today, I'm going to ask you guys to come forward, if you would, too, and just be standing up here, and y'all might want to just kneel down and pray. That'd be a good thing to do. This thing can go nowhere without prayer. It will not. Without the anointing and empowering of the Holy Spirit, this is just another program that will eventually fall flat and wear us out. It's not intended to be that at all. This is intended to be a lifestyle change in my life, in your life, in our life as we become disciple makers. Because that's what Christ has called us to. You know, as one of the speakers at the Cross Conference this week so eloquently said, in fact, President of the Southern Baptist Convention, Dr. J.D. Greer, said, the call to follow Jesus is the call to fulfill the Great Commission. They're really one and the same. And so I want to encourage you to be open during the message this morning. These cards are on the connect table. If you would like to go fill one out, Leave it out on the Connect table. We'll get them. Group leaders, we're going to meet today at 5:30 in our regular room just to make sure our ducks are in a row ready to launch next week. I want you to pick the room you want to meet for your session. And if these people teach you in a community group, or if you just know them, or maybe you don't know Brother Stephen Webb that well or Brother Braxton Perry that well, it's a great time to get to know them as they lead you through this disciple-making ministry. This is, by the way, for high school students, middle school students. This is for college students. It's for young adults, median-age adults, senior adults. We don't retire from serving the Lord until He calls us home. And so this is going to be a powerful opportunity, and we launch next Sunday at 4:45. Now, many of you signed up on the card to be a prayer warrior. And if you committed to be a prayer warrior, I'm going to be doing a class with you next Sunday at 4:45. And so I'll be leading that group while the others are going through the Disciple Makers study. So prayer warriors, we'll meet at 4:45. And Disciple Makers, you'll meet at 4:45. And we got to have both. And so you can still commit to be a prayer partner on the card and put it out on the table. That way we'll know you're coming next week to the class. And if you would desire to be a Disciple Maker class starting next week, you can fill it out as well, all right? But please be open to that. If you fill one out earlier, you do not need to redo it, but we do hope that you will show up and be ready for class next week. If you don't have a preference, we'll just put you in one. But we'd like to see all of these different classes filled up with at least 10 people next Sunday evening. And also, if you are not able to be in the class or to be a prayer partner, but you can help us by watching some children. We have some people signed up who cannot faithfully take the class unless we have some child care provided at 4:45. So I'm going to go ahead and lay that out this morning too. We need somebody who will say, hey, I'll watch the children and I can rock. If we got a little baby, I can rock one, all right? But you pray about that. We need that also for next Sunday as we launch into this awesome ministry. There's a role for everybody to play in the gospel-shaped culture that God is building here at Crawford Baptist Church. So let me pray, and we've got a sermon to preach, all right? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow before you today. And again, we love you. We are excited about what you are doing here at Crawford Baptist Church. And Lord Jesus, we acknowledge you. You are our Lord. You are our sovereign ruler, the CEO. You are the chief pastor of Crawford Baptist Church. And we submit and humble ourselves under your lordship and your authority over our lives. And we acknowledge today, Lord Jesus, that apart from you, we can do nothing. And so, Lord, I am desperate for you to abide in me and help me abide in you, that I might bear much fruit this morning for your glory, for the advancement of the gospel, and the furtherance of your kingdom. And Father, as we begin 2019 as pastor and people, I pray, God, that we would get serious about you, and that we would get serious about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we would have an urgency within our souls concerning the need to tell others the good news of Christ and to see them grow as disciples of Jesus. Oh, Lord, I plead with you. Holy Spirit, anoint me now to preach. Anoint us to hear and listen. Save the lost. Stir the hearts of the saved. Lord, call forth, thrust out laborers into the harvest fields that are white unto harvest, Lord. Help us all, I pray, in the matchless, powerful name, the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, December 8th, 1941, the day after Pearl Harbor, Allen Emery did what thousands of other young American males did. He went down and he enlisted in the United States military. And Alan Emery chose the Coast Guard. And so he went through his basic training, and then they stationed him in his hometown of Boston, Massachusetts. He was a quartermaster in the Coast Guard. And he was assigned the duty of Friday night guard duty protecting a wharf there in Boston. That was one of his assignments. And so on one particular Friday, Alan Emery was lying in his rack getting some shut-eye before his night duty to guard the wharf, be on guard duty, stand guard duty. And so Alan Emery is trying to get some shut-eye there in his rack, and one of his new acquaintances, Joseph Olszewski, comes sliding by and sticks his head in. He says, "Hey, Alan, how you doing, man?" He said, "Well, I'm just getting some rest. I've got guard duty tonight." "Oh, yeah, that's right." And Alan looks over at Joe and he says, "Well, Joe, man, you are something to behold this morning, man. What is going on with you, man?" Joe had his dress blues on. He had some piping white cuffs. He had his hat was square. His shoes were spit shined. Man, he was looking fantabulous. I mean, Joe was just awesome. And Alan said, "Man, you look great, Joe. What's the big occasion?" Joe said, Alan, last night at the USO, I met a beautiful young girl from over on Beacon Hill. Man, she's loaded. And she's pretty. And she invited me to come spend the weekend with her. In fact, tonight she's taking me to the opera, and then we're going to spend the rest of the weekend in her apartment on Beacon Hill. She's got plenty of records, and she has plenty to drink. And I don't have to be back to 0700 to report for duty on Monday morning." And Alan said, "I'll be praying for you, Joe." And Joe stopped as he was trying to walk away. And he said, "This is going to be the greatest weekend of my life. Now, what did you just say?" And Alan said, "Joe, I said I'll be praying for you." "Well, why are you going to go be praying for somebody who's about to have the greatest weekend of his life?" "Well, because, you know, at 0700 Monday, Joe, you're going to have to report back to ship. And when you do, you won't be the same guy that you are right now, because sin leaves its mark on everybody." Well, Joe said a few choice words to Alan and stormed off. Alan rested. He got up, got dressed, prepared for his guard duty. He prayed for Joe, for God just to work in his heart and his life and keep him from sin. He goes and mans his post. He's down at the wharf, standing watch, keeping America safe. And then comes storming his way a face that was not smiling, a face that looked agitated. And it was old Joe. Old Joe storms up to Alan, and he says, "Man, how can a fella go have a good time when he knows somebody's praying for him?" He said, "Man, you have ruined my weekend. I stood up my date. Man, you have blown my life. But I knew you had guard duty, and I've been waiting on you. And I want you to tell me how I can meet God." And so Alan Emery shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with Joseph Olszewski there on that wharf. God saved Joe that night, and the change was immediate. I mean, Joe started going to Park Street Church, and he sat under the expository preaching of Dr. Harold Ockingay, famous evangelical pastor. During that period of time, he would spend his free time on the Boston Commons inviting fellow servicemen to come to worship. He would go to St. Paul's Church, which was open 24/7 for prayer. He would go and take servicemen and lead them in prayer and pray with them. He would share the gospel with men and women there on the common, in Boston's common. On February the 1st, 1943, see, it's a true story now. On February the 1st, 1943, Joseph Olszewski volunteered for sea duty on a minesweeper. And so on that day, he set out from New York Harbor toward Iceland on a minesweeper. And 3 days out of port, a German torpedo found its mark, and it sank that minesweeper. And Joseph Olszewski went to be with his Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but a story like that one, it kind of helps clear the fog out of my mind. You ever been in a daze? You ever been in a fog? Have you ever been living life as if it were a rat race and the rats were winning? You see, a story like this helps clear away the fog out of my mind. It helps me set my priorities aright once again. Because we all have a tendency to kind of get our priorities out of whack. That's North Carolina talk. Do y'all understand that? We get our priorities out of whack. You know, out of place sometimes. What should be number one sometimes becomes number three or four on the list. And so, man, stories like, and it reminds me of a Peanut cartoon strip in the paper where Linus throws a stick and Snoopy is supposed to go fetch the stick. And Snoopy was about to go fetch the stick when he stopped and paused a moment. And in the caption over Snoopy's head, he was saying, I want people to think more about me once I'm gone than he was a nice guy and he chased sticks. Now, I need you to think about this. I need you to Selah on this a moment with me. You see, when you and I contemplate the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to save people from the wrath of God and from their sins and to transform people's lives, we ought to stop chasing after sticks and live for the glory of Christ by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. And so I want us to see three things in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. And again, I want you to keep the challenge I have laid before you in mind as we work through these verses today. Because, I mean, we're here for people who aren't here yet. We are here, you know, right now counts forever. Because there's an eternity coming, right now counts forever. And you and I long, because we're created by God in His image, we long to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. And let me just tell you what that is. You have been created to be in fellowship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. You've been created to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. You've been created by Him to follow Jesus and fulfill the Great Commission. This is what we are saved to be and then to do. Crawford Baptist Church became a church on February 24th, 1957. And Crawford Baptist Church exists to glorify God by making disciples through the gospel, in community, on mission. But we do not fulfill our mission in our own strength. When Jesus Christ saves us, He fills us with the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit empowers you and me to live our lives so we can fulfill the Great Commission. Again, a call to follow Jesus is also the call to fulfill the Great Commission. It's what we're born again to do. It's what we're born again to do. And at our church, we identified about 6 years ago, before we began the property acquisition, before we remodeled the children's building, before we remodeled the worship center and put the balcony in, we had established and laid out on a little document some ministry goals. We had four ministry goals that we laid out about 5 or 6 years ago. Let me just quickly remind you of what they were, because they haven't really changed. Number one, make disciples of men, women, and students. Number two, equip men, women, and student disciples to be disciple makers. Number three, to train men to be godly leaders in their homes. We're going to talk about the assistant pastor position and the recommendation from the pastors in the committee here in just a little bit as we close today. And the training ground for future pastors is the home, if you want to look into biblical qualifications. If they don't lead at home and they fail at home, then they can't lead in the church and they will fail at church. And so one of our ministry goals, number three, is to train men. Men, the missing ingredient in many churches today. We can take a head count of males and females, and typically in the average church, the females may be 3/4 of the people in attendance. Now, we're a little better than that percentage. I don't know the exact percentage, but we are here to train men to be godly leaders in their homes, and we're to train men to be pastors and church planters. That is why we exist. That's one reason, one ministry objective as to why we exist. And number four, our ministry goal is to plant churches locally, nationally, and globally. Those were the four goals we came up with and introduced 5 or 6 years ago, way before we remodeled this building and that building and purchased land north and south. Those were our ministry objectives. And I'm going to tell you, because Jesus Christ lives, we live for Jesus Christ. And introducing people to Jesus is the very heart and soul of our mission. And so, our text, Matthew 9, 35 to 38. I have three main points. We'll put them on the screen for you. Number one, Christ follower, your life is now compelled by the love of Christ for the unsaved. Your life is now compelled by the love of Christ for the unsaved. Look at Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. Now here we see a holistic ministry. Jesus is preaching, he's teaching, and he's healing, including casting out demons. Amen? That's our Lord. That's the picture of our Jesus. He's mighty to save. We sang that this morning, didn't we? Our God is mighty to save. Amen. Verse 36. But when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. That's point number one right there. Christ follower, Christian, your life is now to be compelled by the love of Christ for the unsaved. And I want you to think about a couple of things here as you look at verse 36. When he saw the crowds. When's the last time you saw the crowds? You say, well, Pastor, I was at the mall before Christmas and I saw some crowds. Yeah, I did too. Walmart was ridiculous. Schillinger Road is ridiculous. Amen? Somebody. I mean, but when have you really observed the crowd. You see, you and I, as followers of Christ, need to see the size of the multitudes. The Bible says here, when he, Jesus, saw the crowds of people, he saw them. And he saw the needs within their very souls. And when you think about all the people in our area, in the southern part of the United States of America, there are 67 million unsaved people, according to the North American Mission Board, in the southern region of the United States of America. 67 million people who are believed to be unsaved, lost, without hope in God. And so we need to recognize that there are people all around you and me, in Sims, and in our schools, and in our neighborhoods, and in our families, who are not in Christ. They are not saved. And we ought to have a burden for that. When we acknowledge God's grace to us, it ought to burden us for others to experience that grace. If you have really drunk from the cup of salvation, how can we sit idly by while our friends, loved ones, husbands, wives, children, grandchildren, co-workers, teammates, and friends live life, live a good, decent, moral life and die and go to hell? How can we be content with that? How? And yet, the average Southern Baptist churchgoer never leads anybody to faith in Jesus Christ. How can that be if we have truly tasted of God's grace? If we have truly drunk from God's cup of salvation, how can that be? You see, you and I need to see the size of the multitudes. We also need to feel the suffering of the multitudes. In verse 36, Jesus noticed the people, but notice this, and when he did, he had compassion for them because they were harassed. That word means torn apart. It's the picture of like a wolf getting a sheep and just ripping that sheep apart. That's what the word harassed means in the word picture. And then the word helpless means they've been thrown down and they cannot get back up. I mean, have you ever tried to ice skate? Maybe roller skate. And you go out there and you're going to impress that date. And all you do is have a date with the ice, right? Or the floor of the roller rink, skating rink. I mean, you just can't get up off the floor. Well, that's kind of, I mean, they are torn and ripped apart by the world and by sin and by religion, and they're weighted down and they cannot get up and rescue themselves. They're drowning in their own sin and there is nothing they can do about it. That's the picture. As Jesus saw all the different peoples around him, he was moved with compassion. That word compassion is love in action. It's love with its sleeves rolled up. It's love that is motivated from that heart condition toward people's need. And so it gladly meets the needs of other people. It's agape love in action. That's what compassion is. Love is an act of the will, right? That's accompanied by emotion, which then brings good to its object. And so we need, as the church, and I need, and what I'm preaching on, I can't give you. I can't give it to myself. I'm looking in a balcony today that's got a lot of folks in it. And that's good. I'm looking at the floor here. It's got a lot of people in it. That's good. I can't change one of your hearts. I can't cause any of you today, when you go to that restaurant or you go to Walmart or you go to Winn-Dixie, you go wherever you got to go when you leave this place, and cause you to slow down and notice the people around you. I can't do one thing to change that. I can't do one thing to get you to feel the suffering of the multitudes around you. But the Lord can. And I'm praying that He will. I'm praying this morning He's going to touch some of you. And you say, Pastor Jay, I'm going to find the card. I'm going to learn something. as 2019 kicks in, I'm going to covenant with the Lord to get serious with Him. And I will come and I'm going to be faithful in this disciple makers class. I'm going to be faithful as a prayer partner. I'll come to that prayer partner class that you're going to lead. And I'm going to learn some things so I will be better equipped to follow Christ. And I'm going to be better equipped to help disciple my child, my teenager, my friend, my coworker, a new believer, whomever it may be. You see, we need to see the size of the multitudes. There are plenty of lost folks around us. We need to feel the suffering of the multitudes. Number three, we need to realize the separation of the multitudes. Jesus went on to say, and in verse 36, Matthew records what's going on here. He saw the crowds. He had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless. But notice this, they were like sheep without a shepherd. And the sheep without a shepherd is a dangerous, dangerous thing. And in fact, if you will flip over for a minute to Ephesians 2, seems like we go there a lot, but I think it's important. Ephesians chapter 2, let me just share it with you. I mean, what are these sheep without shepherds like? What are these people who are harassed and helpless? What are they like? Ephesians 2:1 says, they are dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. They were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Look down in chapter 2, verse 11. Look at verse 12. Look at chapter 2, verse 12. Paul says, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ. That's where they are today. They're separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise. Notice this next part. Having no hope and without God in the world. That's where those who are without Christ are. If you're in this room today, by God's loving providence, you're here today to hear that God loves you. God created you in His own image for His glory. And you and I, we have sinned against His glory. And so therefore we deserve God's punishment for eternity in hell. But God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him, in Jesus, should not perish, but have eternal life. He's the only way. Going to church doesn't do it. Being baptized, being catechized, being confirmed in that religious tradition, being baptized as an infant, being baptized as an adult with no saving faith, none of those things leads you to heaven. None of those things. Where do you get that, Pastor Jay? I get that in the Bible. And today we're counting on everything and this and that, and we're hoping the best, that we're going to make it, we're going to get in, we're going to be okay, and I'm okay, and you're okay, and God's okay with us, and the Bible says He's not. He's not. He has wrath, righteous wrath and anger toward you and me if we're outside of Christ. And we in Southern Baptists have tended to leave this out of our message. God is an angry, wrathful God. He's rightfully angry. He's rightfully wrathful. But He's made the way of escape. If you will look to Christ, you'll turn to Him, and as you turn to Him, you're turning from sin and self. You're turning from religion, and you're turning to the living God. And the Bible says, for whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so we need to see the size of the multitudes. There are people that need Christ all around us. We need to feel the suffering of the multitudes. We need to realize the separation of the multitudes. And as a result, listen, we can no longer live for ourselves. Crawford Baptist Church, may God help us not to live for ourselves.
We are to live for the glory of God and the advancement of the gospel. That's why God gives you breath and life and mind and music and the arts and all that, that is within creation is to glorify Him. So may God compel us by the love of Christ for the sake of the unsaved. If we do not respond to God's means of grace through His Word, listen, God's plan is not going to fail. No. We just get left behind. See, God's going to save a people for Himself, for His glory. And we can get in by being obedient to His Word. Number two, not only Christ following, your life is now compelled by the love of Christ for the unsaved, but number two, Christ follower, your life is now committed to the body of Christ, the church. Your life is now committed to the body of Christ, the church, for the unsaved. This is verses 37 and 38. Look at verse 37. Then He, that's Jesus again, said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest." Now, I want you to see in these verses, Jesus' concern is not that lost people would not come to God for salvation when they hear the gospel. That's not the concern of Jesus in these verses. I'll say that again. Jesus' concern in these verses is not that the lost will not respond to the gospel and be saved. Jesus' concern in these verses is that the church will not go with the gospel to the unsaved. And that's become a prophetic word, has it not? When 95% of Southern Baptists never win one person to faith in Jesus, not your son, not your daughter, not your neighbor, not your coworker, not your classmate, not your friend, when 95% of us never win anyone to faith in Christ, that's a prophetic word that has come to fruition because we are not sharing the gospel and we're not making disciples. And so Jesus' concern is realized in that the church will not go with the gospel to the unsaved. When we're more concerned about our parking place and our seat and our quarterly and our this and our that, I plead with you to listen to yourself and to see that it is consumed with selfishness and that the gospel calls me and you to be selfless in sharing the gospel. Our Lord Jesus, He leads us in love. He leads us in the Word. He leads us in righteousness. He leads us in selflessness. He laid down His life for us. And we all were, as we saw in Romans 5 in the prayer time, enemies of God. May God help us. You see, we need to pray, church, for laborers in this text. Jesus is saying, man, the harvest is plentiful. There are people who will respond, but the laborers, the workers, are few. Man, that's the condition of the church in the Western world today. The workers are few. There are too few pastors. There are too few church planters. There are too few. Most churches can't find people to teach a Sunday school class or a community group. We can't find men who are walking with the Lord faithfully enough to say, hey, I will serve as a deacon in my local church if I am elected by my church. The laborers are few. Few. And the hour has never been later. It's never been later. I can say that with confidence. It's never been later than it is right now. And when we reconvene tonight with Awana and with our evening service, it's going to be even later then. Time is fleeing. People are dying daily. And we sit on the best news in the world. We need to pray for laborers. Now you say, well, shouldn't we be praying for the lost to be saved? Oh, absolutely we should. In Romans chapter 9, in Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul talks about, you know, my prayer and my heart's desire is that God will save the people according to my flesh, right? The kinsmen according to the flesh. You can jot those down. Romans 9, 1 through 3, and Romans 10, 1 through 4. And there you'd see the Apostle Paul. Yes, we need to be praying for God to save lost people. Absolutely. But hey, we also got to get the workers to do the praying first. That's Matthew 9. See, many folks in the church are sidelined with a spectator mentality. We come sit, soak, and sour on Sunday morning. We critique the music. We critique the pastor. We critique the temperatures. Too hot, too cold. The person in front of me has too big of a head. I mean, whatever it be. Those people in front of me would stay off their phone and stop doing social media during the sermon, I might be able to pay more attention to the sermon myself. We have a spectator mentality, so we are sidelined. We're not in the game. We're not in the battle. Do you really want a harvest for Jesus? Don't answer that too quickly. Do you really want a harvest? What are you sacrificing? Some sleep? Some time? Some brain power? I can tell you what the average churchgoer was. Well, I'm not really. I'm there when it's convenient. That community group's 8:45. I don't want to have a gospel community group. Folks, community groups are important. They're worth setting your clock so you go to bed earlier on Saturday morning so you can get up out of that bed, bless your little heart, and get in with the people of God in your community group. We are trying to see the Lord build His church through the gospel in community. And so if you're in a community group, you are brothers and sisters with them in particular, with all of the Christians certainly, but with that group in particular. And it's you that I will pour my heart out to. It is you who can pour your heart out to me. It is we who can come together and lay hands as you start back at school tomorrow at South Alabama or at UM a week from Monday or wherever you are as the Mobile County Public Schools and a lot of our private schools go back tomorrow. As you go back to class Monday or Tuesday of this week, when it's where we get to know we need. Listen, it is worth the effort to get up, get the bed off your back. We are so conditioned as Americans to be lazy and content. And we are weaker than ever spiritually because we do not pursue Christ with all that we are. May God help us to reject the spectator mentality of church and to really long for the harvest and pray for God to save people. So we are to be committed to the body of Christ. That's the church, the local church. It's God's plan A to reach the world. He doesn't have a plan B. Are you committed to the local church? You say, well, I come at 10 o'clock, and I'm glad you do. And I hope you'll continue. But that's just first base. We want to see you plug into a community group where you can grow deep in the Word. Brothers and sisters, we've got to be stronger in 2019 than we were in 2018. Amen? We need to be stronger. Number three, Christ follower, your life is now commissioned in the work of Christ for the unsaved. Christian or Christ follower, I use those interchangeably. Christ follower, your life is now commissioned in the work of Christ for the unsaved. And again, verse 38, Jesus says, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Notice in chapter 10, verse 1. And he called to him his 12 disciples, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits, and to cast them out, and to heal every disease and affliction. You see, as we're compelled by the love of Christ for the unsaved, and we're committed to the local church for reaching the unsaved, you need to realize as you exit today, you are commissioned to fulfill the Great Commission. And I am being obedient or disobedient. And from my God time this morning, it was in Matthew chapter 4. In my God time today, I am praying, Lord, make me be alert and intentional and bold in sharing the gospel with people. Is that your heart's attitude? I want to be alert to the people around me. I want to be intentional, like I'm just waiting for the opportunity to slide that message in there, to get a gospel word in there, to get a gospel conversation started in that kind. Are you alert? Are you intentional? Are you being bold and at the same time compassionate as you share? That's the heart of Christ. That must be my heart. Pray that for me, would you? And I'm praying that for you. But I want to show you a couple of things as we close out today on this one. But as we are now commissioned in the work of Christ for the unsaved, notice number one, we have authority. We have the authority of King Jesus. You see, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus gave his disciples authority. Matthew 28, which we recite a lot as we leave, as we are commissioned to go out of those fields that are white in the harvest on Sundays. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He's got it all. He's sovereign ruler. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So go, therefore, and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'll be with you always, even the end of the age. You see, this is our great commission. And listen, we go in the authority of King Jesus. I mentioned in the prayer time that Morocco is a closed country. They do not allow Christians in, unless you're a businessman or nurse or doctor or teacher. They will let you in to doctor, to nurse, to conduct business, to teach. Because, see, a lot of the places around the world, they want to know English. See, it is something to be in China in what they call English Corner at the university and speak English. Of course, we offend the British when we say that because we speak American, not proper English. But, you know, there was the university there in China, they wanted to hire me to teach English. Maybe I missed my calling. I don't know. Now that I'm more missions minded than I was even back 10 years ago. I'll tell you why. They wanted to hire me because, I got to hurry this up. But they wanted to hire me because we would teach English. And I wanted to talk about, let's take five. Give me five. High five. And like the superintendent say, you really good. You do it not like book do it. You make it come alive. And all I'm doing is give them some, you know, crazy little, give me five, let's take five, high five, you know. Knuckles, you know, I didn't do that one. But they wanted to hire me. But my point is, and this is my, I got to get back to my point. We have the authority of Christ.
I want you to see in verse 2 of chapter 10, the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. So we have the authority of King Jesus. We go in the authority of King Jesus. But also, number two, we ought to be known as a disciple of Jesus. And I get that from this. We know who the apostles were. Amen? I mean, that list recurs a number of times in the four Gospels. We know who the apostles were. You didn't have to guess if Thaddeus was an apostle. He's listed. He's declared publicly to be a follower of Jesus, and more than that, a sent one with authority and the message of Christ. And so you and I believe, ought to be known as a disciple maker for Jesus. People ought to know that about you and me. God doesn't have a secret service. Doesn't need the protection. He'll never be thwarted or stopped or any. He doesn't need secret service. We are to be openly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we have the authority of King Jesus. We ought to be known as disciple makers for Jesus. I want you to see number three. We should live and be willing to die to advance the gospel. We should live daily and be willing to die if necessary to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 21. Matthew 10, 21 says, brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Look at Matthew 10, 28. Jesus said this. Jesus said, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And so, we have the authority of King Jesus. You and I are commissioned with this message. And we go in the authority of Christ. We need to be known to others as a disciple maker for Christ. And we ought to be willing to live and die if necessary to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Will you reach out this week without selling out? Will you pray that God would work on your heart to be sensitive to those around you? Will you commit to pray for God to send out laborers into the ripe harvest fields? We're getting ready to have a campaign among Southern Baptists. Are you excited? I'm excited about this one. Our president, Dr. J.D. Greer, will be introducing this. But I want to introduce it to you ahead of time. It's called Who's Your One? Who's Your One? Dr. Greer, our president of the Southern Baptist Convention, is encouraging every saved Southern Baptist church member to identify one unsaved person in their circle of acquaintances and pray for that person. And then lovingly share the gospel with that person until we see God save that person. Who's your one? Who will you prayerfully and then evangelistically seek to win to the Lord in the year 2019? You see, it's later than it's ever been before. From February 23rd, to March 6th, 1836, 1,500 Mexican soldiers surrounded the Alamo down in the San Antonio, Texas area today. 13-day siege.
And in the end, of course, those within that fort were killed by the Mexican soldiers. Think about the Alamo. The Alamo began as a mission of the church to reach and evangelize the Indians in that area of what we now call Texas. The Alamo was a mission of the church. Then she became a battlefield where valiant Americans died at the hands of Mexican soldiers, 1836. Today, the Alamo is a what? A museum. And I love history. And there are a lot of lessons to learn from history. But you see, God's still writing His story. And every church that's ever been founded upon biblical principles was founded with mission. To reach, to introduce people to Jesus Christ. That's the goal of every biblically based church plant. We begin with mission. And as we engage in mission, hey, we encounter the battlefield, beloved. We encounter the battle. We do. What God never intends for us to be is a museum. Sitting there with our eyes focused on the rearview mirror. Oh, for the 50s again. Choir robes, funeral home fans, 2-week camp meetings. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But folks, we can't just sit with our eyes staring at the rearview mirror. You see, a part of the museum mentality in churches is we believe the best days have already been. We don't have that belief here. I believe the best days are out yonder. I believe the best days are about to begin rolling in. I believe God is preparing to do a momentous work in people called Crawford Baptist Church. And we're praying not just for, we're praying God save hundreds of people. We're praying for revival and awakening throughout our region. And I believe God's getting ready to do it. And I want to plead with you, live your life. We are not inviting you here for your life to be easy. As John Piper said at the conference, we want you to be here so your life will count for eternity. And so this morning, if you're in this room by God's loving providence, would you say, Pastor Jay, I hear, I'm believing, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is my Savior. I don't just make a declaration, give a testimony, get baptized, and then I'm a part of the secret service. No, I'm publicly living for Christ. I'm compelled by the love of Christ for the lost. I'm committed to the local church because the Bible teaches that. That's not Baptist doctrine. That's not my doctrine. That's Bible doctrine. Jesus is building his what? His church. So are you committed to the church for the sake of the lost? And are you commissioned in the work of Christ to reach the unsaved? Because if you're saved, a call to follow Jesus is a call to fulfill the Great Commission. And so this morning, you and say, Pastor Jay, I'm trusting Christ, the gospel, the good news that the just and gracious God of the universe looked upon hopelessly sinful people and he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, to bear his wrath against our sin on that old rugged cross. And then he raised up Jesus' dead body from a tomb, right? So that everyone who will turn from their sins and believe in him, Jesus, will be reconciled to God forever. That's the good news of the gospel. Will you cry out to the Lord? Repent. Cast yourself upon the mercy of the Lord and you will find yourself born again. You can come and speak with me or Pastor Glad here at the front. I'm going to ask our group leaders and our disciple makers teams just to come forward to be available to pray. Maybe you want to come pray with one of them. That's fine. Maybe you say, hey, I feel motivated to be a part of this study. I'll be a prayer partner. You can come pray with one of these guys down here and just tell them that. And then fill out the card when you're done. This morning, if you need to be saved, if you need to become a member of a church, if you're already saved and need believer baptism by immersion, if you feel led to be a part of the disciple-making ministry, I want to encourage you to respond. Don't sit by as a spectator and miss out on what God is doing. Get in the game. Let's get involved. Let our group leaders come. Let's bow for prayer.